Oh, man, I need a beer.
Have a cocktail.
No, I don't care for any.
I said have a cocktail.
So can I get you gentlemen something more to drink? Or maybe something to nibble on?
This is some serious gourmet shit.
This is the best thing I have ever put in my mouth.
I picked a hell of a day to quit drinking.
I came for the beer and the bitches.
From now on, every hour is happy hour.
I'm drunk. You're drunk. Everybody's drunk.
You can't drink worth a shit, you know that?
I wish she'd get out of my life and shut up.
Shut up, Chip, or I'll go ape shit on your ass. I'm gonna scissor kick you in the back of the head.
Hey, bud, what's your problem?
Come on. I'm 10 years old, but I'll beat your ass. Chip, I'm gonna come at you like a spider monkey.
Like a spider monkey? Go on.
Shut up, bud pirate, I'm trying to hear.
The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air.
Welcome, Big Phony Head, the show with no style and no class. And that's the name of the show, No Style, No Class. We've got some Belgian beers, and I had a reason for doing this, because we've had Belgians before. But for some reason, every other beer podcast out there appears to be doing Belgian beers. And every one of them contradicts. And quick plug, if you want to hear all of these podcasts I'm talking about, go to beersafari.com. It's the jungle of beer, and you can download all of your favorite beer shows and some you really can't stand. Right there in one place. So we got a room full of people tonight, and Rick's on the phone with us, and we're going to explore some Belgian beers. And Rick, how's things out there in the wilderness?
Things are fine out here. I've moved out from the YMCA, and I'm actually living in a house now, so life is good.
That's good.
I think we're paying him too much, Dick.
Indoor plumbing and everything, right? That's good. Well,
Bam family has rejoined me.
That's right. You are now your wife and child are out there, and you're living it up, living the high life. And what's your town called?
Superior, Colorado.
Superior. With a name like Superior, it must be good.
It must be good.
Well, I wanted to talk about our show snacks that we have too, which for some reason we haven't opened or had any of them.
Au contraire.
Oh, okay. So Mike has already got the bag going. With Belgium, with these types of beers, they pair well with chocolate. And we've got Dave and Terry are with us, and they brought banana nut bread. And we've got some cookies from the Great American Cookie Store, courtesy of my daughter, who apparently they throw them away.
Really?
Yeah. So these are fresh baked cookies. And so this all goes well. You can have like desserts with these beers. So anyway, and Claire's here with us, and Claire wants to know if she can be honest, because these beers, because of the styles of Belgians, they get very experimental. And we started our pre-show beers. We had true Belgian beers. We had the Cuvée Angélique and the Cuvée Diabolique, both Belgian beers from Andelo, I believe it is. And I thought that set kind of a good baseline, because what I was telling them, these are Belgian-style beers, but they're done American. Except for our last beer, which is going to be a French-Canadian one. But these are from Jolly Pumpkin Artisan Ales, and they're very interesting. And what are you drinking, Rick?
I am drinking the Brother David's Double, which is the Anderson Valley Brewing Company. Here. Boonville, California.
Where at?
Boonville, California.
Okay. Is that Northern California?
Yeah. It's a very well-known brewery. They've done a lot of good stuff. But unfortunately, we didn't have access to it in Memphis.
That's true, and now you're just rubbing my nose in it, that you've got access to all kinds of beer now that you're out in the Mecca.
Yeah, but I couldn't find Jolly Pumpkin. I was looking for it.
Well, and I told you you might not be able to. They got a very limited distribution. They're a very tiny brewery.
Now, where are they located?
They are in... man, you had to ask me that. I know they're in California.
Michigan,
Michigan. I'm sorry, Michigan. They're very California.
Yeah,
well,
they know these guys.
To me, and this is kind of interesting, I thought I get like this California vibe off of their beers, but the guy's in Michigan, and on their website, he is into a Hawaiian lifestyle. Hmm. He's from Michigan. I don't know if he ever lived there. I've got an email into him, but on the website, it's like all mahalo and aloha and all of that. So it's a very interesting brewery. And so we're on to our first beer. It's the, how you say it, Dave? Oro de...
Oro de calabaza.
Oro de calabaza.
Which means?
Pumpkin. Not pumpkin head. Head of gold of the pumpkin.
Or is it mold of the pumpkin?
Not pumpkin mold. I think Claire's giving us a heads up on her opinion, perhaps.
Already with the honesty.
Well, I will tell you the one thing, and I didn't want to say this before, because it would set expectations. They do open cask fermenting. And what that means is there's no top on their vat of beer, and it's fermented by whatever yeast happens to be in the neighborhood. And I believe they do use a standard yeast strain. I've got an email in, and if the brewmaster gets back, we'll cut it in. But the thing about wild yeast is sometimes you get a twang or a little pucker. And reading reviews and hearing about this, and the fellows at Craft Beer Radio, they did a little. They didn't talk about this brewer. They referred to them when they were reviewing some Lost Abbey beers because of that little pucker factor, which I like.
It's kind of sour right there at the end. Mm-hmm.
It's a little twang to it. So we start off with this, and the other thing is this is referred to on their website as a Belgian, in the Belgian golden ale style. The thing about I said earlier about this no style, no class, they do not categorize this. It doesn't say this is a Belgian golden ale. It says artisan golden ale. And so they're kind of carving out their own niche in their beers. And Mike has a phone call. We'll wait on you, Mike.
Not anymore, I don't.
Real live podcasting.
Hey, while we got a break, why don't we introduce everybody?
Yeah, all right. Well, Mike and I are here, and Rick, and Dave and Terry from Next Door, or Next Door. It seems like Next Door. They're joining us, and they've heard the show before, but they've never been on it, and somehow we managed to sucker them in.
And they brought goodies, too.
They brought banana nut bread.
I was going to say it was the offer of free beer and chocolates that brought us.
That's right. Well, it...
And great
pairs
company.
Well. And Claire's joining us, filled with show notes.
Which haven't helped me one bit yet.
Well, what were you telling me? I was saying earlier about the glass. We are drinking out of red wine glasses because it's the closest I could find. I broke my other one, so I've only got one new Belgian glass.
That's but, too bad, isn't it, Ray, for us?
Well, no, they're almost identical, just these are longer stems and slightly smaller. But what was the type of glass you were telling me about?
Well, there are several, actually. The Belgians have their own glass, which actually is made to go along with the beer. And the purpose is to maximize the aroma and the flavor of the beer. And often the beer is served in lunettes.
Lunettes?
Lunettes, which are very tall glasses. They hold about a liter of beer.
That's a lot of beer.
That's a lot of beer.
A liter.
A lot of beer.
So I was going to say like a champagne plate, but that would be a big champagne.
It's a big old glass.
A lunette. Okay. It sounds dainty, yet it's
a lunette,
liter.
Yes. The other one didn't sound quite as dainty.
What was the other one?
The other one.
It's good to see you're organized and prepared.
Oh, I was, but I've had a couple of glasses.
Did you drop those on the floor or something?
That's the problem.
She got all her notes
all
prepared.
Well, I don't have anything about glasses here. But,
I recall what it sounded like.
We'll get Terry to do that. I want to get a bad reputation here. Well, we're talking about if you go to Belgium and you're offered by a bartender, if they'd like a bollocking.
A bollocking.
A bollocking.
Okay.
And that would mean, actually, a glass goblet in which to serve the beer. And it's really a bowel licking. I don't know if that's how they pronounce it.
A bowel licking.
B-O-W-L-I-C-K-E-N.
Oh, okay. B-O-W. Okay. Well, there's no good way to say that.
But you would hear the other. And so if you go over there, don't get offended.
There's no good way to say that. It's a bowel licking, bowel licking. Yes. And I suppose that would depend on what the bartender looked like and was asking you and... How you, of course, interpreted that.
Right.
Wanted to respond.
Absolutely.
By the way, it's not so much for the beer.
I'm sure the sailors who come to Belgium appreciate that quite a bit.
Might be how it originated.
Probably need one.
Yeah, that's right.
Who's been eating the chocolate?
I'm thinking of a long-running Indian joke where the brewer walked out the door and saw his dog on the carpet licking himself.
Oh, yeah?
It was a Belgian dog.
Oh, okay.
Never mind.
I thought that was a joke. Why do dogs lick themselves?
Because they can.
Because they can.
Yeah.
Because the bartender asked them if they'd like a ball licking.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Oh. Thanks, Jerry.
Sorry.
The corollary of that joke is a guy saw a dog licking itself, and his friend says, man, I wish I could do that. And the other guy said, no, I wouldn't. He'd bite you.
He'd bite you.
So,
now, go ahead and tell yours,
despite
Jerry.
The high-class beer.
Tell yours about the lobotomy.
The what?
Oh, we were just talking about the, you know, get out of the space above my head earlier.
Oh, yeah.
And who, you know, where one would say that. And we just thought that possibly what we would hear you say is, I'd rather have a bottle in front of me than a frontal lobotomy.
Mm-hmm. I also heard, I'd rather have a free bottle in front of me than a prefrontal lobotomy.
Ah, okay.
So, I forget who said that.
Okay, who's eating the chocolate with the beer?
Mm-mm. Well, I did.
Yeah.
Mine was good.
I thought that opened it up pretty good, didn't it?
So, yep. This
made
Oro
it more enjoyable.
The Oro de Calabaza, and it's very light at first, and then it's got a little twang, mm-hmm. a little pucker. And Claire, time to be honest.
Well, to me, what fruit do they grow in, and trees do they have in Belgium? Because it reminds me of a fruit that's fallen on the ground and gotten moldy.
Okay, that's what you asked if this is moldy pumpkin beer.
Yeah, I mean, it's it does remind
the
me
the smell or the taste or
the
what?
Smell. The smell.
Really?
And when you do get to taste it, it's a lot more pleasant.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You
so
just don't care for
the
nose
smell,
on it, huh?
And it's.
And see, I caught, I mean, first thing,
like
I
the
smelled the twang.
The smell.
Mm. Sound it's, the opposite. I don't
see,
like
I didn't, it. I didn't care for the taste. And,
yeah.
But with the chocolate, the raspberry Ghirardelli chocolate, it was much better. It somewhat mm-hmm. kind of filtered or kind of absorbed some of the flavor that I didn't like in the beer.
Now, which made it more of a sweeter than a sour taste.
Was it the sour? Because it does have, that's the whole open ferment. You never know what's going to
pop
up. Well,
I'm guessing yeah. without knowing the effects of different yeast and the how you describe that it might have something to do with that open exposure.
It doesn't have to do with the hops that are in it, or?
No. There was no description of what hops they used, but the traits of Belgian beers are a lot of flavors. Whereas American, we try and like burn your face off with hops. Hmm. And, you know, the harder hitting, the better. But Belgians are, and the artisan ales like this are different. They're not going for that punch in the face. They're going for subtleties and nuances and multiple flavors. And this is a different type.
Mm-hmm.
Usually when you have a pucker, the words associated with it are sweat and horse blanket.
It's, yeah.
They're not pretty words. But I love pucker beers. That's what I call them, sour beers mm-hmm. and sour lambics and things yeah. like this. But this is Long a very night. Light. And the other thing about this,
horse
and I'm hoping I'm going to get a little something back to find out about it, this is referred to on Beer Advocate as a beer de garde. Yet on the website itself, it says in the Belgian Golden Ale, Strong Golden, although it's only 8% alcohol. Got an 89 on Beer Advocate with 194 people responding to this. So we got a couple of more interesting beers. Why don't we take a pause? And I've got something, again, this is kind of the No Style, No Class line. I've been looking for different types of music lately, and I thought this was interesting. This is a pairing here of two things you don't usually associate with one another. David Allan Coe and Dimebag Darrell from Pantera. And this is Get Out of My Life.
Shit, and I wanted to take. You can't hold.
back with our second beer on this side of the fence, the La Roja. How's that?
We win.
La Roja.
Okay, good. I did it right. I'm working on rolling my R's, because who doesn't love a good rolled R? The beer, La Roja Artisan Amber Ale, it says, and depending on where you look, this is categorized as an American wild ale. Is it wild? I haven't had any yet.
Yeah, it's kind of wild.
Kind of wild?
Now, is this one fermented in an open cask or what?
Everything they make is.
Oh, wow.
And I haven't tried it yet. Well, Rick, what are you drinking?
I am drinking the Brother David's Triple this time. And it's night and day from the Brother David's Double. The Double is more of a real deep amber color. Kind of a, almost the color of a porter. But the Triple is like a golden ale. Very fine bubbles coming up and a great spice aroma coming off the head.
So the Triple, did you say it was lighter in color?
Oh, much. Yeah, it's night and day.
Yeah, and so we were talking about that earlier offline, about the two beers that we had, our warm-ups, the Angelique and Diabolique, were actually doubles and triples. And the Diabolique, although higher in alcohol, lighter in color, you can't judge a beer by its color. Mm. You just don't know. That's why you got to look up what it is. So which one are you leaning towards?
Oh, I would always go with the triple instead of or over the double. But, you know, sometimes you need a lower alcohol volume if you like mowing the grass or whatever. So,
yeah.
Then a double would be better. But I kind of like the spicy characteristics of the triple. One of the things I was going to mention, you were talking about open brewing. Anchor Brewing Company, the company with Fritz Maytag, opened up. They do open fermentation, but it's in incredibly sterile conditions. So they just do it because of the science of, you know, the wide vats, you know, reducing the CO2 pressure and all that. You know, there's a whole science behind that. I don't know that they're exposing their brews to wild yeast. Maybe they are, maybe they're not.
Well, not if it's a sterile condition. Yeah. So I would think that I can see why you would do that to just for the displacement, but that's sort of the charm to me, like the farmhouse, these Saison beers and things like that. Because depending on where you're at, different yeast roam about, and you can get same beer.
That's definitely the case with the Saisons, because they just kind of open up the rafters, you know, and whatever falls in. That's a true Belgian.
Yeah, it sounds like Anchor's just doing it in a much bigger container.
No, but they're really controlling their environment. I mean, they make sure that nothing gets in there, because they're a brewer. They sell a lot of volume, and they certainly don't want a batch to go bad. But the physical properties of fermenting in an open vat.
Right, because your beer can, as the yeast is flocculating, so it's just popping off. You're not under pressure.
Yeah, all the foam's coming up.
Right.
The CO2 is immediately going away. There's no pressure on it. I guess it just changes the characteristics of the fermentation.
So the triple then is the favorite so far.
It is.
Got anything to go with that? Sardines and crackers or something like that? Well, we just had some great banana nut bread where Terry slipped in, or did Dave make this?
I made that.
You made that? Okay, Terry is going to claim it. Slipped in chocolate chips and banana nut bread.
Pretty tasty.
That was great.
It's an artisan bread.
It's an artisan.
There you go.
Artisan nanner nut bread. So what do we think about the La Roja? Everybody's busy drinking it.
Yeah.
It's a good sign.
To me, it's very similar initial flavors to the Oro de Calabaza. I don't know if it's the yeasty flavors that are coming out, but it has somewhat of a citrus. The first impressions are a lot more carbonation, and then after several sips of it, some citrus.
It was quite a bit of carbonation, as we saw when we popped the bottle. It was just like a slow foam coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't want to stop. And now I poured, and mine, the head dissipates quickly on this. I'm looking around, and nobody really has a full head left. Mm-hmm. That was the difference. So the effervescence in the beer rises and gets out of the way really quick.
Yeah, I'm liking it more now. The longer I let it sit, the more I enjoy it. I don't know if it's just a matter of...
So a little of carbonation went away, and this is also a little tart, a little puckery.
citrus.
And these things have optimal temperatures that they should be drunk at. So if you're drinking them directly out of the refrigerator, it's probably a little too cold.
Now, this has been sitting out probably coming up on an hour. So it's starting to warm up nicely. Yeah. We could have gone a little, the one that we had first, though, but it was a golden ale style. I think we're hitting these on just the right temperature notes on this.
Yeah, you're probably getting a lot of esters out of it.
Hello.
Well, let's see, we have somebody join us on the phone. Caller, you're on the air.
I think it's more like Carol. You're on the air.
Yeah, Carol, you're on the air. That's on your side, Rick.
Yeah, that's not possible. I'm on Skype. So.
Oh, that's right. Okay. Well, then it's me. It's the kids. Like they don't know we're down here doing a show. But so Terry, what do you think?
It's interesting because it is tart like the other beer was, but for me the tartness comes on quicker with this one and diminishes faster, and there's like an after, like a flavor that I get. I don't know.
And I thought the same thing. The flavor, the leftover that I have is sweet. Mm-hmm. It's not.
Not
it's
sour
not tart
at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, not tart. It's like the sweet tarts that you have that at the end of they were still kind of sugary. Mm-hmm. Claire, what do you think? You're gazing longingly at your glass there.
No mold in this one?
No mold in this one. No, I do agree. It has a very citrusy flavor. Uh-huh. And sort of takes me to Hawaii, actually, this one.
You get Hawaii?
This takes me to Hawaii.
By way of Dexter, Michigan, I think it is. Yeah.
I wonder if they serve poi at every meal.
Well, wait, are you saying that because of what I said earlier about the Hawaiian
really
lifestyle?
I'm on a ship here now going to Hawaii with this drink. This one's good.
Okay. Yeah, it is. I think this is lighter. I was expecting it because of the amber style. And the word amber always scares me whenever you use a color to describe a flavor. But, yeah, it's good. And it's not very malty. Very interesting. I'd never heard of the style American Wild Ale, but that, again, goes back to these really aren't categorized as styles. So what do you got coming up, Rick? You got a Grand Cru.
Oh, yeah, I've got the Avery Grand Cru, the Beast.
That
is like a 14% alcohol by volume.
Whoa.
They just sell them in little 12-ounce bottles. You know, the other ones have been 1.6 fluid ounces.
Ah.
So,
well, these, I'm looking forward to it. These are all 720 milliliters. And I did look, and they've got Jolly Pumpkin has a lot of beers, but where I bought these, I only had room in my bag for a couple, so I picked these, and I plan on getting some more when I go back to Southern California here soon, and trying a few more. Really like what I got so far, and we've got more stuff coming up. Maybe even a little beer haiku, you think?
Ooh, we have to find one. Yes.
Yeah. All right. So we'll have that and more coming up. And I got another interesting pairing of people who apparently lost their jobs and got together and formed their own band. Members of Guns N' Roses and a few others. And this is L.A. Guns, Rip and Tear.
I'm gonna run.
That was L.A. Guns. And the question arose while it was playing, is this blues? It's like, well, metal blues.
Isn't it all?
It's all blues. And if you, the last song that I got of the night, you listen, they just directly refer to blues. And it's not a blues song in the strictest sense of the word. So, speaking of blues and style and class and
culture,
it's time to resurrect an old favorite. We've got Beer Haiku. Shall I cue the music?
Cue the music. Big Foamy Heads Interpretive Dance Theater presents Beer Haiku. As a matter of fact, I like beer, he said, as if an explanation was necessary. Beer Haiku.
Class. Culture.
Written by Capcom.
Beautiful. That's right. Just injecting a little culture into your lives right there. That's right. And Captain Hops is he's been around for a while, just like some of us. It's too bad he doesn't do podcasts, because if he did, we'd have him on Beer Safari, where all of the good podcasts are. You notice I'm plugging Beer Safari quite regularly now, as is all of our fellow beer podcasters. And it really is. I checked, and it's like Christmas. You go and look on your one podcast and like, oh, there's another one. It's very nice. And
beer podcasts are listening to us and want to join Beer Safari, then please just get in touch with us.
That's right. We can always have more, because there's a lot of good ones out there, and always want to spread the word about good beer. And are you tapped into your next one yet?
I am. I'm going to read the marketing speak, because it's kind of fun. It says, the beast is a seducer, accommodating, complicated, powerful, dark, and created to last the ages with deep burgundy color and aromas of honey, nutmeg, mandarin orange, and pineapple. This massive and challenging brew has flavors akin to beautiful Caribbean rum. Dates, plums, raisins, and molasses are dominant in a rich, venous texture, cellarable for 10-plus years. It's a strong beer.
Yeah, if you can put it away for 10 years. How's yours, do you know?
Yeah, I don't know.
You just bought it today. No, this is that's a big bottle,
yeah,
too.
Good question. I wish I had a good answer.
Are these 720s that you're drinking?
This is brewed in 2007.
Okay. So
it, on date is 2007.
Okay, so you could have aged this for a while, but you're not going to wait. So how are you liking it?
It is potent. Very rich, strong beer. It's almost like a liquor, actually.
The Grand Cruz I've always found to be really alcohol aggressive. Yeah. Either
Grand Cruz is not necessarily a style, though. It just means like the best. Or
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
This is the brewer's, the best that they can do.
Well, they're over the top. The ones that I've had in Southern California especially are very warm. They're like warmers. Yeah. So there's a lot of alcohol notes. Oh, well, yeah. What's your alcohol on that?
14.9.
Yeah. Yes.
The original gravity is 1.148, which is high.
And the finished gravity is 12.
Yeah,
that's a massive beer there, man. Yeah. Well, you're going to have to get somebody to help you up the stairs.
Yeah, nobody to share it with. He's so lucky.
Yeah, we'll have one together when you come out with Christmas.
I can't. That's right. Great American Beer Fest, and Clark from Dude Night has been reminding me. He's been hounding me. Get my tickets now, because they are going to sell out. So, and it's going to be huge. There's going to be so many people there. And if anybody does get out to Great American Beer Fest, I know we have initiatives underway to have a podcaster table. It will be completely illegal and off the books, because no one is giving us press credentials, and everybody's
really
pissed about that.
I bet.
Dick, I have my 4 tickets, and I have my Big Foamy Head t-shirt, and I'm ready to go.
And I'm going to buy my tickets, and I'll be ready to go, too. So we need to get into our next beer, which pairs exceptionally well with these double chewy pecan praline cookies, whatever they are, very sweet and
sugary.
And we are drinking the Trader Joe's 2006 Vintage Ale. And we had this before. It's a deceptive little number. It says Trader Joe's, but it's made by our dear friends at Unibrew, who I love Unibrew. They're a French-Canadian people in Quebec, which is its own country, despite not being recognized as such. And even though this is old beer, it's a year old. It's a very nice Belgian ale, and it's like an Abbey-style ale. So you've all gotten into some. Mm-hmm.
Yes,
Terry's is almost gone. What do you think?
I like it. Honestly, I like this better than I did the prior two.
Did you?
Yeah, I don't like quite as much of a bite as the others had.
What do you smell? The first, well, you almost have none left. But I get one thing jumps out at me on this particular beer.
I'm going to say like a burnt sugar, but...
Mm-hmm. I get pepper. It's a very spicy...
I get licorice.
Yeah, that too. Mm. It's a very... deep nose onto it. You get a lot of spice and just more deeper, darker things.
And it's a scary-looking beer, too.
It's a dark beer. It's very dark. It's almost... It's not quite stout dark, but it's pretty dark beer. But, man... Mm. It's good.
It's good.
Peppery.
Yeah.
It's a very hearty beer. Goes good with cookies.
It goes away quick. The flavor in your mouth kind of goes away quick. You have to kind of hunt for the, aftertaste there a little
now
bit.
Now that you've said that, I'm That's getting more I licorice. The licorice,
She's done a
licorice
lot
and anise.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's good stuff. Yeah, it's very spicy.
There you go, talking about your relatives again.
Anise. It's a good stuff. So, Rick, how's that Grand Cru going down?
It's wiping me out. This one's taking me down.
Okay, you're putting up a fight, but it's going to win. It's overpowering you, and it's going to have its way with you shortly.
I got a question about your pralines. Are those artisan pralines?
No, these are cookies.
Oh, yeah, but are they artisan
cookies? Oh, artisan cookies? Yes. They're about as artisan as Great American Cookie Company can get.
It is a free plug.
Yeah, that's right. They're Great American fun. Cookie, when you've got a beer... to drink.
Eat a cookie.
Does not go well with Bud. What did you think about our new show opening?
I like it. You include a little Invader Zim. That's cool.
We got a little bit of everything. And so here's a big challenge. Anybody who can name every single clip and where it's from, I'll buy them a case of beer.
And you'll get it within the year.
Guaranteed. Within this year or the next. I guarantee it. Our friends that should I drink that will attest.
Oh, that one.
What, are you telling me which cookie
that
I
one.
Eat?
Yeah.
Okay. God, Mike the cookie Nazi.
Man,
it's
that
like
one's awesome.
Forcing cookies on me. Yes, the double chocolate, which pairs well with the Innabrew here. And again, we talked about the ale on lees. That's their signature saying, but pretty much everything's ale on lees. So, whatever. It's a good beer. Mm. We're enjoying it immensely.
Ale on eels?
Lees.
Ale on lees. Ale on lees, as opposed to...
Which means what, Rick?
Ale on wheels. Basically. It's a live beer.
It's just,
The yeast is still in the bottle. It's bottle fermented.
Which is pretty much
bottle conditioned.
Every single beer we've had. Something Mike asked about before, and I forgot to mention, the Jolly Pumpkin beers that we had are, in addition to being open cask fermented, they are matured in oak casks. They never mature in metal at all. That's not a signature beer. All of their beers are done that way, which is very time-consuming. They're also aged for quite a while. So it's a very, from an artisan-type beers. All right, so we finished all ours. We've had all yours, Rick. And let's just kind of go around and see what did you think about the beers and what was your favorite and... Myself, I like the La Roja. I like a pucker beer. Claire, kind of zoned out there in the...
Well, I have to say, I'm thoroughly enjoying this.
The Trader Joe's?
Yes, I
Innabrew.
Am. Mm-hmm. Yes, it's very pungent, I would say.
That's the word.
Just
spicy.
A very nice feeling when I drink this beer.
The fact that you scarfed down 2.5 others prior had nothing to do with it, right?
What?
The fact you had 2.5 prior to that had
exactly.
nothing.
Exactly.
Now, did you try any chocolate with this one?
No. Well, I had the cookies, which again were lovely.
Uh huh.
So you're leaning towards the Trader Joe.
Very much
okay.
so. Yes.
Terry.
I liked the Angelique, I think.
The Angelique? Mm-hmm. All the way back beer. To the warm-up yeah. beer. Okay.
I really did. Of all of them, of the last three that we had, I liked the last one.
The Trader Joe.
Yeah.
Trader Joe.
The Trader Joe.
So the Angelique, okay, very nice. And that was a true Belgian Abbey Ale or warm-up beer. Dave, what'd you like?
Well, after 21 years of marriage, I'd have to say I agree with my wife. Actually, that's why I was reaching for the Angelique bottle, so I could remember the name and try to pronounce it correctly. But of the three that we tried as part of the show, I enjoyed the Trader Joe beer the most. It seemed, all three of them, I noticed, they all tasted better as I let them sit. All three of them were more enjoyable.
They warm up nicely.
Were the pucker beers, as you call them. Maybe it was because I don't know that I've ever had a pucker beer before, but I liked them all more toward the end. But of all the beers we've had tonight, I would have gone with the Angelique.
Mike, what do you think?
I'm kind of like you. I like the La Roja, but then it's the Trader Joe's and La Roja are almost dead even for me.
Well, they're different
because I like that style. I really didn't care for the pumpkin, the gold of the pumpkin.
The Oro?
Yeah.
Okay.
I really didn't care for it. But the Trader Joe's and the La Roja, yeah, like, even though they're different, they were both very good for their styles.
Well, I've got to, or the lack thereof.
Yeah.
I've got to point out that the tart beers, the pucker beers, are usually something that even people who've had many beers, when they encounter something like this, they're kind of taken aback. Mm-hmm. It's not what you would expect. Mm-hmm. And so it's typically not received very well and at first blush. And then, like Dave said, as it warms up, as you get used to it, and it's something that, you know, I like to go back and revisit them. The tartar beers are something I enjoy once in a while, not every day. This Trader Joe, it's just peppery and spicy and licorice-y and full of flavor. And I love the Interbrew, always have. The Jolly Pumpkin Bears, I'd drink any one of these again. I still think the La Roja is my favorite just because of the combination of the different flavors. The malts had more of a malt nose. As far as the warm-up beers, I'll go with Terry and Dave, just because Terry said so, about the Angelique. I think it was very good. The Diabolique was a golden ale, a triple style, and it was light. Mm-hmm. I thought it was extremely light.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, comparing it to a more commercial beer, except for the fact that it's like 8% alcohol, mm-hmm. other than that, which that's a plus in my book. So, good stuff, and I guess we need to wind it up, call it a show.
Hey.
Yeah.
What about me?
Well, your beers. Sorry, Rick.
We need him on video.
Well, you like every one of them. Yeah, we need your like head on the camera here. What was your...
every beer everybody always have. And I'm going to say that Anderson Valley is not going to be a bad choice ever. I've heard a lot of industry buzz about them. Very good brewery. Seek them out if you can. This Avery, the Beast, though, has really got my number tonight. It's a wonderful beer. And I've had the Trader Joe's beer that you guys are talking about before. We've had that on the previous show, I think.
We did, and I guess that's kind of a testament to it. It was that good, we brought it back.
It's that good, right. Is an exceptional beer, and I highly recommend it. I still have to go with the Beast.
The Beast, so the Avery was your top choice of the night?
By far.
All right, very nice.
So complex, and it's a heavy beer, though. Not something you want to drink in the afternoon. It's an evening sipper.
Yeah.
And something you want to share with friends, actually.
Except you're not. You're sharing this with us in spirit. You're taking one for the team. You're taking several for the team. All right.
It's a preview. Okay.
You know, once you open it, you can't let it go to waste, right?
That's right. All right, well, let's wind it up. And thanks to Jolly Pumpkin for these artisan ales, Trader Joe / Unibrew for their vintage ale, and the Andalou for the Diabolique and the Angelique beers. Fantastic stuff. And we're going to lead out with a little, because Rick's a big fan of the blues / glam metal. One of his old favorites, Bang Tango. We'll see you next time.
Try safe.
Come back and see us.